The cost of hearing aids may be on the way down in the future. President Biden signed a broad executive order earlier this month that aims to end anti-competitive practices. It would affect big technology companies, banks, airlines, hospitals, and even hearing aids. Right now, a pair of hearing aids generally cost more than $5,000, and usually, or often at least, they're not covered by insurance. That prices out a lot of people who could use them. In fact, according to the White House, only 14% of the 48 million Americans with hearing loss have them. In 2017, former President Trump signed a bill that would allow hearing aids to be sold over the counter. Biden's order would push regulators to make that happen in 4 months. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or someone you know use a hearing aid, or are they too expensive? How has hearing loss affected your life or that of a loved one? What do you think of the moves by the federal government in recent years to try to bring the cost of hearing aids down? What questions do you have about how they work or why they cost so much? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rachel Craig is assistant professor of audiology at UW Stevens Point. Rachel, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having us.
And Becky Henning is a professor of communication sciences and disorders and director of off-campus audiology clinical education. She also teaches at UW Stevens Point. Becky, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Becky, can you take us back a little bit and explain what Congress and President Trump did back in 2017 when it came to hearing devices?
Yeah, was that question for me?
Yeah, Becky?
Yeah. So at that time, the FDA was, you know, had decided to make an over-the-counter, regulations for over-the-counter hearing aids that could be sold to people who had potentially mild to moderate hearing loss, especially age-related. Mild to moderate hearing loss, and there were intended to be specific kind of labeling and guidelines for those hearing aids, and that process just hasn't been put in place yet. And so I think President Biden's order is intended to kind of hopefully accelerate that process or get that process being.
And Rachel, as an audiologist, can you talk about the kind of difference that hearing aids can make in people's lives? And I'll say I've got a lot of people in my family who use them. It's probably in my future, I'm guessing, and I've seen before and after. It can really make a big difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I basically live and breathe hearing healthcare at this point. You know, hearing aids are not like glasses, though. We don't just put them on and everything is crystal clear and perfect. It takes a lot of adjusting to and counseling and time to get used to it. But once that is done and done appropriately, then, yeah, patients benefit tremendously from hearing aids.
And Rachel, there's been concern, I know, about the idea of over-the-counter hearing aids. I guess the chance of somebody just going in and getting the wrong hearing aid or having a different hearing problem that a hearing aid can't address. What kind of concerns, Rachel, do you think need to be met when it comes to the idea of selling a hearing aid without a prescription?
Absolutely. There are a few concerns. I think the biggest concern is that, you know, hearing loss can be caused by different things. It can be a medical reason that perhaps could be resolved with medical treatment, things like fluid in the middle ear or a hole in the eardrum or even earwax in the ear canal can cause somebody to experience hearing loss. And if those in those particular situations, an over-the-counter hearing aid is definitely not the ideal treatment. That's not going to fix the issue. They're going to need to seek medical treatment, and hopefully that would resolve the issue after that's done. So my biggest concern with over-the-counter hearing aids is that patients will not get the medical treatment that they need, and they'll just go purchase these devices, you know, thinking that it's an age-related hearing loss and that will suffice for treatment. My other concern is that the over-the-counter hearing aids aren't necessarily going to be verified by a hearing healthcare professional. So the patient doesn't know exactly what is being put into their ears. And there's potential for damage there if it is in fact too loud. So those are my two biggest concerns, although I will say, you know, there is a place for them. There are individuals with very mild loss that could benefit from over-the-counter hearing aids.
And Becky, according to the Open Markets Institute, there are just four manufacturers controlling about 84% of the hearing aid market. Do we know, Becky, why there aren't more players involved and so little competition here?
Yeah, that's a good question. There used to be more manufacturers, but there has been consolidation in this industry, as you know, as there has been in other industries. Although, you know, over the years as consolidation has taken place, that, you know, it doesn't seem like that has sort of directly resulted in increased costs. You know, hearing aids have always been expensive, even when there were more players involved. And so, yeah, I guess I'm not really sure why there are so few right now, but I also don't know that that is really the I don't know if that's really the main factor in why they are so expensive. I think a lot of the cost comes from just the technology involved in the devices itself, as well as the professional services that go into the fitting. So I don't know if having more players in the market would make a difference or not.
We're talking about hearing aids, why they're expensive, and a new executive order by President Biden that aims to lower their cost by the goal anyway to get more competition into the market and allow more over-the-counter options without a prescription, though some concerns about that, as you've heard from our guests. Rachel Craig and Becky Henning are with us. Rachel's an assistant professor of audiology at UW-Stevens Point. Becky's a professor of communication sciences and disorders and director of off-campus audiology clinical education, also at UW-Stevens Point. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you or someone you know dealing with hearing loss at whatever age? What kind of impact does it have on quality of life? Have you put off, or someone in your family put off, buying hearing aids because of their price? They're pretty expensive, as we're hearing. What questions do you have about how hearing aids work, how they're fit, how they are customized to individual people? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also share your story or your question over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about hearing aids. An executive order signed by President Biden a couple weeks ago would speed up the time frame for when they can be sold over the counter without a prescription. The idea, the hope anyway, is it would lead to more competition and lower prices. Right now, the average pair costs more than $5,000, oftentimes not covered by insurance. A lot of people who need them don't buy them. Got a couple of professors from UW-Stevens Point staying with us. Becky Henning, professor of communication sciences and disorders and director of off-campus audiology clinical education, and Rachel Craig, assistant professor of audiology. And you could join in with your questions or your experiences at 800-642-1234. Did you or someone you know need a hearing aid but had trouble affording it? Can you talk about before and after? Was a hearing assistance a big game changer in your life or the life of someone you know? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. And Becky, I wanted to ask, this might seem like a strange question, but I know sometimes people don't realize they're experiencing hearing loss. It's something that can happen slowly over time. What are some of the warning signs people can watch for in themselves or a loved one that suggests, hey, maybe they should get checked out, get their hearing checked, and see if they need a hearing aid?
Yeah. So you're exactly right that it often happens gradually and people may not notice it. So some classic warning signs, it would be either noticing yourself or a loved one, asking people to repeat themselves more often. You know, you might, the person with hearing loss might still feel like they can hear, but they might say that people are mumbling all the time. And that's because with hearing loss, people typically lose their hearing first in the higher pitches or higher frequencies and not in other pitches, and so they can still hear, you know, they can still hear the volume, they can still hear that someone's talking, but they're asking that person to repeat themselves more often because they're not hearing all the sounds that person is saying. So it may sound to the person with hearing loss like other people are mumbling, and again, they may be asking for repetition often. They may start to feel kind of fatigued when they're listening to others because they're putting forth a lot of effort that they don't realize they're putting forth to listen. And so, yes, feeling tired when you're having conversations, feeling like they kind of want to withdraw from the conversation and asking for repetition a lot, or thinking that other people are mumbling often.
And Rachel, can you talk a little bit about how hearing aids actually work? Because in my head, it's just like an amplifier, but it's, I think, more complicated than that, right?
Yeah, it's much more complicated than that. And I think that's a pretty big misconception. It's not just you. So hearing aids, I kind of like to explain them as a tiny, tiny little computer that you're wearing either in your ears or behind your ears. It's going to take in sound through a microphone, multiple microphones actually, and it's going to process that digitally. Most hearing aids are digital processed, and the sound is manipulated and then pumped back into the patient's ears. So it's very complex. It's by frequencies, multiple channels and bands that can be manipulated by a hearing healthcare professional and fit appropriately to somebody who has hearing loss.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Victoria is with us in Whitewater. Victoria, hi.
Hi. I've been wearing hearing aids since I was about 45. And I was a substitute teacher, and a little boy kept saying, "What's that word you keep saying to me, pardon?" Because I used to say pardon whenever I couldn't hear kids. And so I had a coworker tell me that I could get them through the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, and I tried that. So I ended up getting my first hearing aid paid for, and they were life-saving. I have since gone on to buy several more because I cannot live without them. And I did try the kind that just amplified that you buy in stores. I tried those first, and they do not work. So the ones that you go through an audiologist for, oh, my God, they're amazing.
Victoria, thanks a lot for that call. And I've seen actually consumer warnings, Becky, about some of the things that are available in stores or elsewhere that are, like Victoria said, just simple amplifiers, and they're not great for a lot of people. Is that a common experience that Victoria had?
They might be kind of trying to appeal to people, you know, who want something inexpensive, which is absolutely understandable because hearing aids are very expensive. And often are just a simple amplifier, or they might amplify the low pitches more than the high pitches when most people need the opposite. They need the highs amplified more than the lows. And so that is the reason then behind why, you know, it's a good idea for the FDA to have some, you know, kind of regulations and sort of so we can steer people appropriately, you know, who might benefit from these potential future over-the-counter devices. Because, you know, if it's completely unregulated, then it's easy to end up, you know, purchasing something that is really not the right fit for you. And what we would hope, too, is that if someone tries something over-the-counter and they find that it's not helpful, that then they would, instead of becoming discouraged about sort of hearing aids or amplification in general, that then they would, you know, see an audiologist and make sure that they are fit with something that is appropriate for them.
Victoria, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's go now to Al in Green Bay. Al, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I'm about 62 years old, and I'm going to go back in the very, very near future and get a second crossover. So I was born deaf in one ear, and probably 15 years ago I had a crossover, which simply means it picks up the sound on my dead ear side, it transmits it to the good ear side, and then, you know, shoots it into your ear. My experience was in a low-noise environment, it was super, super helpful. Especially if the person's a little farther away from me let's say she's a waitress, I'm at the table. If she's on my deaf ear side without the hearing aid, without the crossover, I don't do very well. When I had the crossover, I could hear her much better.
Wow.
My audiologist was awesome. Unfortunately, he's since retired. But he said, look, he said, this is going to be an improvement, but it's not going to be a mountaintop experience. And he was absolutely right about that. And the more you wear them, the better you get at, here's an environment, this is going to help me. I had a minivan, I had middle schoolers in the back, and I could hear the page turn when they would read a book. So that was pretty cool. On the other hand, in a high noise environment, like a sports environment, if you're sitting right up on my right, I'm not going to hear you. But to sit in the office with a hearing professional, and they've got an audio control board on their laptop like you guys would have at WPR, except it's digital. And they would move sliders up and down and adjust different ranges. It, in my experience, definitely worth your time to go to the hearing professional.
Interesting. Thank you. So I hadn't even heard of that, Al, those crossovers. And Rachel, can you talk about some of the different kinds of technology? Because I think a lot of us might picture just what we picture as an old-fashioned hearing aid. Sounds like there's more variety than I knew about.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly is. Hearing aids have come quite a ways. The crossover device that was mentioned, is typically reserved for individuals who have single-sided hearing loss, single-sided deafness. And that is a device, just like he explained, transmits the signal from one side over to the other. And then we have just, you know, the air conduction, the hearing aids that you would think of, the ones that go behind the ear. They still have ones that go in the ear. There's different styles. They all kind of boil down to the same thing, where we have a microphone, some processing, and then a receiver or speaker that puts the sound back into the patient's ear. We also have options for individuals that have what's called a conductive hearing loss. So the issue is not in the inner ear, and it is in the middle ear or the outer ear. And there's surgical options for that as well, where the hearing aid per se is a bone vibrated driven. So it's a medical implant that somebody would wear for that specific hearing loss. So the bottom line is that there are different treatment options out there. It's not just a one size fits all sort of solution, which is why, again, it's really important to go to somebody to get the correct diagnosis for what type of hearing loss, the severity of hearing loss, and then ultimately the most appropriate recommendation.
Thanks a lot for that call, Al, and I'm glad that's working for you at 800-642-1234. We're talking about hearing aids, their cost and effort from the Biden administration and for the previous administration to bring down the costs. Rachel Craig is with us, and Becky Henning, both from UW-Stevens Point, audiology experts there. It's still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Becky, what is the cutting edge of hearing assistance technology looking like? Again, personal experience, I had an uncle who had kind of a pilot device where he wore a digital, I don't know, necklace sort of thing, a lanyard almost, and it had these digital processors that filtered in the sounds you wanted to hear, human voices, filtered out background noise. What kind of cutting edge stuff are we seeing on the horizon?
Yeah, I know just what you're talking about there, and we're getting even more advanced than that. Some of the most recent technology is being able to stream directly from phones or other mobile devices, being able to stream audio, phone calls or media straight into the hearing aids. So that would allow someone to, just listen to a phone call through, wirelessly through their hearing aids. So they get the amplification that's customized for them for that phone call or for listening to music or watching videos. And those have been really popular. Some companies are also adding in motion sensors into the hearing aids to help them, to help them identify, if someone might be walking or standing still or turning their head, and that can help the hearing aid know where the speech is that it should focus on, versus noise in the background. And there's, again, just all kinds of signal processing technology that it keeps getting improved and is intended to do the best they can to focus on speech and at least attempt to reduce background noise. I mean, with that said, no hearing aid knows exactly what you want to hear and exactly what you don't want to hear. So there's not a hearing aid yet at this time that can only amplify what you want to hear and get rid of everything you don't want to hear. But the technology for reducing noise keeps getting better and better.
Time for one more caller. Herman is with us in Fifields. Herman, hello.
Yes, I think I tuned in a little late, obviously, but I have one question. You know, you can pay $6,000-$7,000 for hearing aids, and I thought, are they really worth it? Is the technology that good?
That's pretty easy to pay that much for a hearing aid. The ones that cost more, Rachel, like, does more expensive mean better, or are they just maybe suited to more particular needs?
Yeah, that's a great question, one that I get fairly often. I mean, prices range based on the clinic, based on location of the clinics. There are typically levels of technology, and the biggest difference between those levels has to do more or less with what the audiologist can do on their side. How much of the processing can we manipulate for the patient? So typically higher end technology is reserved for individuals who just need a lot more of that processing. You know, I picture some of my college students, you know, sophomores in college sitting in big lecture halls, and then they're going to a dining hall, and then they're going back to their dorm, and all of these different varying situations that they find themselves in that they really need amazing signal processing. So those more expensive hearing aids have the ability to process those signals a little bit more accurately. Now, that being said, they're all pretty phenomenal when it comes to sound quality, sound processing. But that's really the biggest difference between kind of the levels of technology within hearing aids.
Thanks for that call. And we'll leave it there. Becky, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
And Rachel, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're talking to Becky Henning, professor of communication sciences and disorders and director of off-campus audiology clinical education, and Rachel Craig, assistant professor of audiology, both at UW-Stevens Point. We talked to him today about why hearing aids are expensive, a federal government plan to lower their cost, and some of the basics about how hearing aids work.